Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident or client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we want to hear from our listeners, and we remind you the very generous offer from Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. If you call in with a question, comment, or challenge in senior care, and specifically, of course, also about dementia or Alzheimer's, we'll give you a free copy of her award-winning book, published by Johns Hopkins University. That call-in line, 929-477-1393, and we'd love to hear from you. And now, without further ado, hello and good afternoon to the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott, and thank you once again for that wonderful introduction, as always. I am always so honored to be with you here on our very special show today, and I want you to take a minute to tell the listeners about you. I am always so proud to sit across from you and across the nation from you and be on this show together. So tell the listeners all about you and your background and why I should be honored to be here on this show with you.
Oh, stop that. I'm honored to work with you. You're the Dementia Whisperer. I mean, Laura is the national trainer for Comfort Keepers on Alzheimer's dementia. And so, yeah, it's a great thing because of my background in media, but I've also been heavily involved in senior care. Right now I'm working with my wife, Faye Cluthi. She is the Houston representative for Clear Captions. We help seniors who have hearing disabilities or challenges through the American Disabilities Act, putting high-end caption phones into their homes. And that's very rewarding work. And I've worked in social media for a doctor who specialized in heart disease for seniors and other aspects. And, of course, I've been very honored to work with Laura in creating some of her media and, of course, very honored to co-host this show, Live with the Dementia Whisperer, over my 40 years of media, heavily focused on personal development and positive lifestyle. And as I now approach the beautiful year of 66...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's true. In less than a month, 66 is the magic number. It's even more rewarding, of course, more pertinent to the very challenges that I face every day as well. So that's enough about me.
Well, that is so wonderful to hear that. And I'm nipping at your heels, sir. So we're both getting up there. But, you know, I am so happy. I have earned every single wrinkle, and I am very, very happy that that we get to share even more, many more years together, Scott. We've got a lot more to do.
I thought that's what spray starch was for, Laura, to get rid of the wrinkles.
They need to come up with that for our faces.
You're right. Spray starch on your face. That would be great.
Well, I want to welcome our dear listening audience today. We want you to know you are not alone. And if you have worries, concerns, or anxieties, or you just need advice, inspiration, or encouragement on your dementia care journey, you have certainly tuned in to the right place today. So stay with us, because this hour we'll be taking your calls and talking about the newest information from the world of dementia. Perhaps how to better manage the symptoms or how to better spend some time and connect how to learn about dementia from a very different perspective. So today we have some very essential topics that we're going to be covering about dementia caregivers and family members and those with dementia. But we're going to start today with our news and views from the world of dementia. And Scott and I have prepared this so that we can have this wonderful, more in-depth perception about what's going on in the world of dementia. Scott, I understand that you have a few articles to share with us, and we really want our listeners to feel free to call in and ask about any of these topics, any of these articles. If you would like more information or have questions, just go ahead and call us at 1-929-477-1393. This is a live show today. And we will be talking with a wonderful guest, and I believe that our guest has a guest who is in the queue line and will be waiting to talk about how our wonderful guest has impacted them in their world. So, Scott, do you want to go ahead and share some news and views from the world of dementia with us?
Yes, I do. And any listeners out there, I want you to hold the line for later in the show. We're going to be joined by Helen Justice, known as the Elder Care Navigator, certified geriatric care manager and CEO of Advanced Wellness, GMC, Inc. So that's going to be exciting. We're going to have one of the people she works with, one of her clients, and so that'll be great to hear it straight from the heart of those mostly affected by Alzheimer's and dementia. But in the news, there's a lot of news in this early part of 2018, and much of it is actually global. This is a global pandemic going on as the aging population goes along. This is from the Washington Post and Gene Ackerman. The first days of 2018 have been a bleak reminder of how tough it is to develop drugs for some of the world's most frightening diseases, which rob people of their memories, abilities, and personalities. In the span of 1 week, pharma giant Pfizer announced it was ending its internal efforts to develop new drugs for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Axivant Sciences announced that its experimental drug, which late last year failed an Alzheimer's trial, also failed to treat a different form of dementia. A day later, a leading medical journal published an account of yet another experimental drug that failed to prevent cognitive decline in people with mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. And these setbacks pile on to an already depressing situation. More than 400 failed clinical trials since the last Alzheimer's drug, which only treats the symptoms of the disease temporarily, was approved more than a decade ago. So Alzheimer's is a formidable foe for a number of reasons. The brain isn't easy to access, and much about it, how it works, remains mysterious, even as scientific knowledge has moved forward and doctors can't take easy repeat biopsies to see whether a drug is working or not. That's for sure. Patients, though, they're affected in heartbreaking ways, typically are unable to act as advocates for more funding or research when they are in the throes of the disease, unlike cancer or AIDS patients. But that doesn't mean pharmaceutical companies and researchers are giving up. Dennis Selko, a professor of neurology at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, who has served as the head of the External Neuroscience Advisory Board for Pfizer, said that part of the reason for the long string of failures is that in their desperation to find a drug, companies conducted trials that weren't optimal, not targeting people early enough in the disease or not using the best possible drugs. So that hurts. Also, there's a new grant, though. This is very important, that's been approved for therapies. Just like that, here's another one. A group of U.S. researchers hoping to identify already approved medications to repurpose as Alzheimer's disease treatments have won a $2.8 million five-year grant from the National Institute on Aging. That's a division of the National Institute of Health. The study will be led by scientists at Ohio's Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. The group recently launched a computer program called Drug Predict that links medication characteristics with data on how a treatment might affect disease-associated factors. Drug Predict has already identified new uses of old drugs, so that's very important. This is interesting from Japan. Dementia towns. Listen in on this one, Laura. How Japan is evolving for its aging population. With 1 in 5 elderly Japanese predicted to have dementia by 2025, entire communities are working to improve the lives of the older citizens. But it took a round of golf to convince Mashi Tusada, that something was really wrong in his memory. He was only in his mid-50s. The sales rep couldn't remember the four-digit number of his changing room locker. Months earlier, he had struggled to get grips with his office's new computer system. On another occasion, his mind went blank as he was about to give a work presentation. Despite twice being reassured by doctors that stress was the cause of his moments of absent-mindedness, Tusada was eventually diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's disease 5 years ago. His wife, Kazuko, wiped away tears as she recalls the ensuing trauma. "We had just rebuilt our house, but all the plans we had made together were shattered in an instant." And, of course, Japan is at the forefront of a dementia crisis that experts warn will affect other societies with burgeoning elderly populations in decades to come. According to the Health Ministry of Japan, 4.6 million people are suffering from some form of dementia, with the total expected to soar to about 7.3 million people, or 1 in 5 Japanese aged 65 or older, by 2025. And finally, from the conservation by Jorge Gotez, this is actually through via CNN. What is dementia? Dementia is not a single disease, but a complex problem with more than 50 underlying causes. Most drug treatments and development target pathology of Alzheimer's, the most common form of dementia. But finding a cure for neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's is challenging, as we well know. They're difficult to diagnose. Drugs struggle to get into the brain, as the brain's blood supply is largely separate to the rest of the body. That's an interesting fact to understand. Despite failed trials, experts believe we'll have an Alzheimer's drug by 2025. In the UK is the Dementia Discovery Fund, an initiative involving the government, major pharmaceuticals, and Alzheimer's Research UK. That fund aims to boost dementia research investment by financially early-stage drug development projects. They really need to get on that early-stage routine. It's a little late in the game with full-blown dementia coming on. Jurgen Gotez is director of the Clem Jones Center for Aging Dementia Research at the University of Queensland. And that's our dementia news for this edition of Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura.
And not a lot of good news, Scott, I'm afraid. You know, we're
afraid
just
not.
Seeing this. We're seeing this pandemic. We're seeing the struggle about finding some ways to treat it. And right now, we don't have any ways to stop it, fix it, or change it. But I do want to say the Dementia Whisperer has what those professional and family caregivers need, doesn't she? We have to continue helping them to manage it. So let's talk about just a couple of tools that I do have that can help these professional caregivers and family caregivers. And if you're listening, I want you to know that I am constantly looking for ways to support, to help you to manage it, to help you to understand dementia. That's what my mission is. So I have my wonderful book, which Scott mentioned, and we do have a caller who's going to be calling in today. I believe they're holding that will be receiving one of my books for calling in and talking about their journey. So we'll be awarding that today, my book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, a second edition published by Johns Hopkins University Press. That is extremely vital, essential information that all caregivers, you can sit down and read this in an evening, right, Scott? It's very relatable and easy to understand. Yes.
And use it for a lifetime.
Absolutely. It can be that go-to manual. And then I have my DVD, the Encyclopedia of Dementia Care, for the family caregiver and the professional caregiver, two versions. So visit my website at laurawayman.com. Email me at help@laurawayman.com, and we'll get that information to you. So without further ado, I would like it, Scott, if you could bring in our very special guest today.
I'd be happy to. I'll just slip my glasses back on.
Uh-oh, that, are your arms having to get pretty long here these days, Scott?
No, it's proximity to the computer is getting closer, though. Anyway, it's Live with the Dementia Whisperer with Laura Wayman or her co-host Scott Cluthy. Don't forget that call-in line. Sincerely, if you have a question or comment on dementia, Alzheimer's, or other senior care-related questions or comments, You get a free copy of her new second edition from Johns Hopkins University, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. How can you beat that? The call-in line, 929-477-1393. Today, a very special guest. It's Helen Justice, known by many as the Elder Care Navigator, a certified geriatric care manager and CEO of Advanced Wellness GMC, Inc. Helen's trained to assist elders and their families with the process of aging with dignity and grace. Her knowledge and experience ensures elders obtain quality care and transitional preparation for their future. More important than the financial aspect of aging is the social and emotional component that elder care places on the family. Helen runs no-fee monthly seminars in Roseville, California, to educate seniors and their families about everything related to aging and care. She also has a free video introduction video and monthly email tips as well. You can sign up online for those on her informative seminars at advancedwellnessgcm.com. I'm going to do that once again for my loose lips. Advancedwellnessgcm.com. Simple as that. Without further ado, we say hello and good afternoon to Helen Justice. Hello, Helen. How are you?
How are you, Scott and Laura? Thank you for having me today.
Welcome.
It is truly our honor, Helen. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and your organization. I love it when Helen speak. I've heard Helen speak, and she's a very dynamic speaker. So share all about you, Helen.
Well, I'm a long line of coming out of the military after 21 and a half years, and I got into helping people. I'm in the service industry. So about 2006, I was into the geriatric care management area. And since then, you know, I've been running a company to helping families from A to Z. And every family that comes to me is different puzzle pieces. And so it's solving those puzzle pieces for each of them at what stage in their life. And it could be from as early as 58, folks with Alzheimer's and dementia, unfortunately, even younger than that, are coming to me for their help. I'm an author and I'm a speaker. Last year, I did 78 events, speaking all over the Sacramento area here, trying to educate families on how to get help, where to get help. My book is called Aging Parents, The Questions You Should Ask. And that's on my website that you can get a copy, or you can get it out on Amazon by Googling my name, Helen Justice, and you can pick it up there. So my clients come from all facets of life, and we're just take one step at a time to be able to answer their questions, calm their nerves. I tell people, I let you breathe, I hold your hand, and I navigate you through the different doors of the aging population.
And Helen, we talk a lot about with our clients that they often come to us and don't even know what questions to ask. And so you're in the business of also teaching them what questions to ask and then also giving them the answers or solutions, right?
Yeah, and I do this through family training that they come in, and it's about an hour and a half. We teach them terminology, how to be an advocate for themselves in a hospital, skilled nursing, questions to ask. Maybe they're not understanding the terminology the medical community is using. So they have the opportunity to come back to me and say, you know, I'm not quite understanding, or they're trying to discharge my mom and she's not even awake yet. And how can we combat this? So I give them a lot of ammunition. So I'm really an advocate for them to be able to answer those questions and be able to understand where they're heading. This is all new to them. They were not in the medical community. Their sons, daughters, or friends or family just trying to take care of a loved one. And it's just so confusing out there. and the playing field is not even. So we hope that we can educate and give them a little bit of arsenal in their toolbox to be able to use for the future.
And Helen, at this point, before we go on talking about how your company is different from other companies who might be doing similar kinds of things, would you like to share a little bit? I know we have a caller who I believe is one of your clients, and would you like to share their story and have them talk about how you have helped them kind of from A to Z like you're talking about? Would this be a good time for you to invite them to talk about their story?
Oh, sure. It is Susan, and I think that she's on the line here. And
yes, I am.
Hi there.
Okay.
Welcome.
Hi.
So Susan came to me, through a referral, and was very skeptical. Susan had some not such good experience with resources out there. So the first step I had to do with Susan is to make sure that she can trust and know that the information I'm going to be giving her and helping her family would help her out. So, Susan, you want to go ahead and tell us about how you came about and what kind of help I offered to you?
No problem. Most people don't know that once a loved one is diagnosed with Alzheimer's dementia, there's a different level of progression. And my mom had shown signs, but we didn't recognize them. And so once it hit, it went right into almost immediate care for her self-help skills. And so, like Helen had said, we had sought out legal help, and we needed her veterans benefits. And we had gone with several people for veteran help for signing out papers. And didn't matter how many times they explained it to me, I couldn't get it. And I had one question on top of another. So it was very frustrating, and we really couldn't fill out the paperwork because we needed our hand to be held through the whole process. When I did meet Helen, my experience, as she said, was so awful that I was super skeptical. I was moderately mood. I actually listened to the first gathering with her, I think, with one eye closed and one eye squinted with an upper lip like, yeah, what else am I going to hear that isn't going to guide me in the right direction? Something that I've never told Helen, but I knew, and something that pulled me in and gave me that feeling like maybe this is somebody I need to listen to, was when I left a message on her recording, and the ending of the recording said, da 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 da, and just breathe, because I hadn't breathed for years, and it kind of let me know, okay, I think this is somebody that probably knows what she's talking about. So we had an original meeting with her. She answered every question, and then she sent me to one of the seminars. When I sat in the seminar, it was first an informative one of just the most basic points and a paper that we had to refer to. And I just began to sob. She probably remembers that, but I was in the back, and I just started crying because I was finally getting information, and answers were being given, and I knew that somehow I had hit the lottery and that this person can help us. And so I was set up with some meetings to go find some places for some care for my mother, and I thought it was going to be a couple of weeks, and the next day I got a call, okay, we have these areas, would you like to go see them? And she immediately asked me, where had we already gone? That question was super important because it meant integrity to me. Integrity was something I hadn't found prior to, so it meant that she wasn't going to have me lie or not tell these homes that we'd already been there. That to me was important. And immediately we found a home. Time after, we went to different places, looked at different places, and this young lady helped us and never said, I need to go or anything. She just kept taking us to places, and we actually found a reasonable place in a beautiful neighborhood, in a beautiful home, with a beautiful group of women who care for the elderly because they are checked over first before we're taking her. So her reputation is on the line, right, Helen? So she's not going to take us somewhere that is a poor place. So that was my experience. And then we needed other help. We needed legal help. And we actually had located another lawyer, and a great lawyer, and he sounded fine. And we just asked him, could you please just talk to Helen? And he did. He called us back and he said, you know, she asked me questions that I didn't really know how to answer, and she really knows what she's doing. And he says, I think you might want to go with one of her lawyers. And that was an honest lawyer. So we did, and we received incredible help, independent of any question, any text, repetition, same question, things we had already learned. We received the help. Oddly, you had mentioned just now, Helen, that you wanted to be a person that held somebody's hand. And as I was thinking of descriptive words of what I needed, one of my descriptive words was, I needed someone to hold my hand because I was a mess and it was a vulnerable time of my life. And so that was my experience. Can point real quick. I don't know how long you want me to go on. I could go on for hours, but we needed to sell the home. And I just texted Helen after we had already been helped with filling out paperwork and things. Does she know anybody? And she gave me a referral. And we went with a Diane Stint, and she guided me through everything. And she had experience with conservatorships and just held my hand through the whole process. Something that's super important that I would like to share is when you go to fill out, let's say, a veteran's benefit, I think it was 80% of them are returned and rejected, and you have to refile the process, and I believe there's a waiting time. I believe Helen has at least 100% success rate with that, and I know why, because she prepared me for how to request this information from our doctor. We didn't just give him the paper, but we had follow-up with him. And I did everything that she said to the T, and I actually gave my doctor the paper back because he hadn't done it the way Helen told me it needed to be done. And we actually are an odd case because we did not have a lot of the information on my father's vet because sometime there was a big fire and it burnt all of the hard copies of everything. So we were a particular case, and we actually received our benefits earlier than expected, and 100%, no problem, no need to make any changes. Our legal help was there, and what was really cool, and I'll close by saying this, is that it was like we joked around, the siblings, it was a one-stop shop, and I never paid anything to Helen. I never had to pay out anything, so I found this to be an incredible service. I have referred her, and it literally saved my life. And we are still with Helen if we have a question as we continue on, and she's always been there for us. So I'm grateful. All I can say is I'm grateful, and I'm glad I could share this with you.
And that was very, very touching, Susan, and thank you. And hold on. Hold on the line. Scott is going to put you in the queue so that you can continue to listen, and we may have some more questions for you if you don't mind, if you're not in a hurry to rush off. We're going to be spending some more time with Helen here in just a minute. We're going to take our half-show break, our mid-show break, and then, Helen, we're going to come back and kind of sort through all of that great information that Susan gave us, and talk a little bit about all the different services that you can provide. And it just really warms my heart, because our whole focus, both you and I in this business, is hearing how we made a difference in someone's life, and that's just a really great example. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit more details about that, and Scott's going to take us into the mid-show break. So don't go away, our listeners. And I also want to let you know, Helen, that Susan will be receiving, and you can give me her information here in a little while. She will be receiving a copy of my book because she called in and shared her story with us. And we encourage everyone else to call in. The number's 1-929-477-1393. call in and share your story, and we want to hear from you. So we'll be right back after this break. So, Scott, you want to take us out to the break, please?
Absolutely, Laura. Susan, you're going to find that book very valuable. It's always more information, more insight, more wisdom is always better. That's what I say. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes, folks, so don't go anywhere. It's live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number 1 albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards, 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, co-host Scott Cluthy and Laura. You're here with Helen Justice and Susan as well, someone who works with Ms. Justice in her work.
Yes, and I have had the wonderful pleasure of like I said, hearing Helen speak, and she is just this wealth of information, and when she does her seminar, she just plugs you in and downloads as much as she possibly can. You know, Helen, could you just talk just a little bit about some of the ways that folks can get help to pay for care? Because care, elder care, especially dementia care, is very, very expensive. And you are such a guru about helping people find ways to pay for it. So can you talk just a little bit about that?
Sure. I think the first mistake is everybody thinks that Medicare is going to pay for all this care. And Medicare doesn't pay for any of that. It's unfortunate that even getting folks into skilled nursing facilities, that dementia and Alzheimer's is not the place that you're going to be taking your loved one to. So how are you going to pay for it? There's different avenues here in California. The one is Medi-Cal, if you're going to remain at home, is to get some help that way. There's also local groups such as, the Dementia Association, and there's some grants and benefits that way. But there's one program that a lot of people think that they don't qualify for, and that's the VA benefit. The VA benefit is for aid and attendance that help defray the cost of care. It's not where you just sign up ahead of time. You have to actually be paying for care costs. This benefit, it's been around since 1954, and a lot of people just don't know about it. Their loved one has already passed away. They didn't even know about it. As a retiree from the military, you would think that I would get a book that says, here's all your benefits, but I didn't find out about it until 14 years after I retired. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a shame. So it's been my passion, my drive to help as many people as I can. I can't help everyone, but, you know, at least get the education out there. And this benefit is the difference between night and day for especially the widows of wartime vets. We literally almost double their income with this benefit to be able to take care of them. Now, in the dementia or the memory cares, you know, it might not cover everything, but it helps with at least, you know, a good chunk of it, and it's tax-free money. You do have to qualify not only with income, but also assets. And it depends on where you're at with those two things. And so there's a formula that we go through, and you just can't cookie cut it to be able to say, well, if you make X, this is what you're going to get. So each family that comes to me, we have to sit down and look at all of their puzzle pieces in order to find out. Now, there's another program that, I just recently in the last 4 months that might be helpful for some of those that are at home with dementia or Alzheimer's, and the program's called Palliative Care. It was new to me, and this program will help support in between doctor's appointments. It helps with people with complex medical conditions at home. It connects you to a community or resources that you may not have thought of. Medication management, that is a real big part of this, and it's oversight by an RN. And they've got a psych doctor on staff to help with the medication. It helps increase the ER visits. And believe it or not, this is a program that Medicare pays for. Your doctor prescribes it. You're on the program from 12 to 18 months before you're recertified. So it's in between, you know, needing that full hospice care, but it's still you're at home or wherever you're going to be, and it's a wonderful program that I have got a lot of families into right now. So those are some of the finances that are out there to help with folks with dementia and Alzheimer's.
And that palliative care is really comfort care, which is just so much in alignment with dementia care, because there's no prevention or cure or treatment for dementia. No. It's really comfort care and managing the symptoms. And so the wonderful news is that the medical profession is starting to recognize that those with dementia can really benefit from palliative care as well. And you can access palliative care if you're caring, if that family caregiver is caring for them at home, or if they're have been placed in a memory care community. So that palliative care is really just more help. And I always say to the caregivers, access as much help as you can. Build your village. And palliative care is becoming much more dementia aware, much more effective in their care approach, because, once again, they're understanding dementia and what we can and cannot do, and helping the families to have more realistic expectations. So it is really another box that we can check in this whole dementia journey, one of those other rest stops that we need to learn to access and get these family caregivers as much help as they possibly can. So Helen, let's move on just a little bit. What makes your company different from others who have the same services as you?
Well, there isn't really a company that has the same services as I do, as I'm the only geriatric care manager in the state of California with a VA credential, and you do need to be credentialed in order to help families. There's only three of us in the United States with this VA credential, so I can represent a person all the way up in the VA Court of Appeal. And so that's what sets me apart. I'm also Medi-Cal, do those applications. And so I tell people I'm just not an a la carte company. I'm a company that's got a buffet line. And I start you from the beginning, and what are the services that you need? So there's many people say, how do people find you? How do people get to know you? And the only way that I can get out there is be able to do speaking events, such as Laura and I. Sometimes we joint venture and do a speaking event together. But it's really hard to get the word out. And we're out there to get education. So the other part of my company, it's the cornucopia out there and the resources. I want to make sure that the resources that I give out, that these people have to answer to me with my clients. So I don't want them upsells or sold. I want them, their services to be, you know, as soon as possible and follow through. And I do follow up on all of my resources and my family and how will that service for them. So I'm just not a one area of care. I'm from A to Z. And there's not that many companies that are out there that do that. If you need placement, that's what we do. If you need a care plan, if you need public benefits, or if you need help with your house or legal work, and so we have a whole host of folks that are on my resource list that I work very, very closely with and make sure that the clients are taken care of.
And, you know, if we just focus on one of your specialties, because you are so well-trained and experienced in aid and attendance, you know, it's complex. Like Susan was talking about, it's complex. It's not an easy check all the boxes and send it in and you get your benefits. It's very complex and very detailed, and every I has to be dotted and every T has to be crossed. And you are so good at that with your in the end, the whole thing, you're 100% successful. And so one of the other things that I think is really important for our listeners to know is that many people say they can do this, and they may have a company that says they can help you get their benefits, but they often come back to Helen asking for help because they have not been successful, and it's a long appeals process. And so you can help those folks that have unfortunately fell into that hole. You can help dig them back out and help them with that. Helen, you want to discuss that for just a minute?
Well, I in the prior years, if somebody else made the mess, I said, let them unravel that mess. But this year, I'm going to be taking on those who have been disapproved or denial for their VA benefit. And it could be just a matter of the paperwork, because it is daunting. And if you don't fill every one of those blocks on that application, it's going to come back. And so there is a process to it. When you download the form, either off the website or somebody giving it to you, there's no one there to scrub those forms for you to make sure that it is correct. And that is my reason why I get 100%. Is I know, I can't guarantee it, but I know I put the best package into the VA for approval. And I have been doing this for over 12 years, and I've never had a denial. So it's a process, it's a whole system, and you just got to know what you're doing. And not very many people out there. So there are people out there that are claiming that they can help you. They're not VA accredited, and when you get a denial, they're nowhere to be found. There are also people out there that are charging. Just recently, I heard a family that they paid $15,000 to this local attorney that was supposed to get their VA. They did the legal part and never got the VA part done. So you got to be careful of who you're, you're hooking your wagon to, is what I say. And you got to make sure that they are VA accredited. On the VA website, there's a whole list of them for each state. Each state has got to the person that has been sanctioned by the VA, and if they're not on that list, they are doing something they should not be doing.
And, you know, those families are so vulnerable, and you and I have talked about this as well, and we've experienced them when a family is wanting to get help with placement, and they go to a memory care community, and that memory care community is not properly trained, and they're not what I like to say dementia aware, then, you know, they are calling me, and I'm, you know, I'm having to back up and try again, because there are those people in that have the same kind of company as you and I, and they don't follow through. They don't do their due diligence. They don't get the placements done correctly. They don't then come back and help if there are challenges. And so that's what really differentiates us. And just like Susan was talking about and how much she appreciates, is that we continue to hold their hand and help them. And even if we come up against obstacles out there in the professional world, we know what we need to do to help them over those speed bumps, because there will be many along this whole elder care journey. Right, Helen?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, all kinds of obstacles. Not only do you have the doors that you've got to go in and out and make sure you got the right door, but the obstacles along the way. And Laura's been an integral part of my families when we're up against some behavior issues or medication issues, that I can send Laura in to be able to look at, you know, what's going on with the family. Maybe it's the way that the family is taking care of them. Maybe it's the way that they're asking questions. Or even once we get them, you know, some help in the home with Laura, we want to transition them to a memory care. And I want to make sure that memory care has the same type of training that the family got at home. So it's a smooth transition rather than, you know, every day a challenge for the memory care that they're going through. So Laura has been a very integral part of my resources for the family, for consultation, for phone work, and she just knows how to answer those questions and calm the families down.
And help them to have realistic expectations about how we can help them, what we can do, what we can't do with dementia. You know, that's one of my biggest obstacles, is often the families come to me and they're not dementia aware, and they ask for things that I simply can't do. And so they ask for me to fix it or to stop it or to change it. And I wish I could, but I can't. I can only help them to learn to manage it. What are some of the other biggest obstacles that you might face on a daily basis, Helen?
I can tell you the biggest obstacle is getting legal documents done before your loved one loses capacity, because once they are no longer can sign legal documents, you're stuck. And I'm talking power of attorney, advanced health directive, making sure that if they've got assets, to make sure that the trust is up to date. If you have a trust and it's been sitting on the shelf for over 5 years, pull it down and have it reviewed by the attorney that did it. But the legal documents, that's very frustrating, that there are many times if the legal documents are not in order, you're not going to get public benefits because we're stuck. So if you're out there thinking, well, oh gosh, when's the last time we had the power of attorney updated or the advanced health directive? These two documents, it's got to have the language in there. And you should be in front of an elder law attorney that knows not only VA, Medi-Cal for California, and Medicaid across the United States. So that's my number one obstacle. Number two is the family. You know, we've got families that are scattered to the four winds. You know, mom and dad might be here in Sacramento, and the kids are in New York or Florida or whatever. And trying to manage the couple here and understand. So, again, it comes back to you need a team. Once you've gone past this where they're no longer independent, you need a team to be able to help you along the way. And there are stages to this, and as you're going through the different stages, you need a team. You have a financial team. You've got a legal team that you've come on board. Now you need a health team. And Laura is part of that. If your loved one is part of the, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's, she is part of that team. So you need to have someone that will give you answers and truthful answers and be there to support. So those are my two areas that are a lot of obstacles for me. And sometimes I just can't help the family because it's too late. It's too late to submit for public benefits, or too late that they got them on hospice, and it's just too late to file that documentation. So pre-plan should be well ahead of time. You should be looking about 3 to 5 years before, you know, you're really in that that area and of trying to get additional help for your family. So do a lot of pre-planning. And it's like insurance, okay? You've got insurance for your home, insurance for your car. You just need insurance for that last chapter of your loved one's life.
And Susan, I'm going to ask you, when did you first notice that your loved one had dementia symptoms? Because that's part of the educational process. So many people don't understand that there are early flags and we don't catch those, and that's when we should be doing our pre-planning. When did you first start to see that there was this loss of normal brain function? Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, when my mom, and it's a stage for the family to recognize it too, because it's a personal thing. All of a sudden, this person is not a moral, or their morals or values completely change. If they were quiet, they're loud, or it could just be the opposite. There were times where we'd be sitting at the table and talking, and then my mother would think that I was actually somebody else in the family. And it was fleeting. And then she would catch herself, and then we'd hold her accountable for it, which made her become more reclusive about when these episodes would happen. So those were little cues. And then, you know, they have splinter skills, self-help skills, some that make them seem like, okay, they're still okay. But then there's other things that aren't quite right about their maintenance, and you get upset with them because they're not maintaining themselves or their area or all those kinds of things. And so those were some of the first onset. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's dementia, but her brother, it succumbed to it, and he died, I think, in his late 60s. And so... And I feel like I've had some moderate symptoms, too. So I've started some supplements that hopefully are preventative with my cognitive decline. You know, we all have it. So those were the things that kind of drew my attention, things that used to make us mad, things that weren't in her general character or what we would consider to be her values or morals in life. Those were switching slowly, and it was almost like a different person.
And it's tough because we often have to step in as the professional and give a little tough love here and some and talk about some things that are hard to hear, because when you are experiencing that permanent loss of normal brain function, that's exactly what it is. It's permanent. There's no fixing it. There's no changing it. There's no stopping it. And there has to be a cause, and understanding and changing our expectations is so important early, because what we want to do is we want to deny that this is happening because it's horrific. And so we ignore it or say, you know, it was just a single episode, when in fact, the minute we see this, we need to be on guard. We need to start really investigating what's going on. And then, like Helen's talking about, that's the time that we need to be looking for some legal help and making sure that all of our ducks are in a row and we've got the right legal paperwork so that there can be that line of succession about who's going to help when this happens and who's going to take over this part. And we have to think, and this is so painful for family members, we have to know that if someone is suffering from a cause of loss of normal brain function, like Alzheimer's or one of the other 100 causes, the person, that loved one, that client, that resident, they have what I like to say simply and completely, they have a broken thinker. And we need to learn to think for them. And the more proactive we are and learn to think for them as they progress deeper and deeper into this broken thinking, the better it's going to be for everyone, the kinder it is, the better prepared we all will be. And this is, like I said, tough love. This is painful. I wish I had better news. Sometimes I feel like the Grim Reaper when I'm talking about how awful this is. But we're going to run out of time, as always. This is just amazing how fast an hour will go. And so we have a few more minutes. Helen, would you like to just kind of give us a little future view? Where do you think yourself or your company or this industry is going to be in the next few years?
Well, I want to give a daunting statistic, and I want to folks to think about this number. 10,000 people per day will turn 65 every day for the next 17 years. That is a tsunami coming at it. And a lot of these folks are earlier and earlier with dementia and Alzheimer's. So where are we going to be? I know in the geriatric care management, there's not going to be enough hours in the day to be able to educate people. We're going to have to be doing triage more than anything. But people are not preparing far enough and ahead of time. So if we can get folks out there to, you know, educate, going to seminars, and in your local area. I know Laura has put on several seminars, not only from the college, but also, conventions that she's been at. And she'll actually take you, you know, if you got a community that you could have her come in and do some training, that's where it's going to be. It's education, and knowledge is power, and be prepared. So in the next few years, you can just count on this tsunami of people that are getting, you know, worse with the dementia and Alzheimer's, and there's no answers out there. There's, as you heard from Scott, that medications, the trials, they're just not there.
And you know, Helen, give our listeners a way to get a hold of you, either to call you or email you or go online and get to you through the website. Can you give them some contact information? Because I know there's going to be lots of listeners that want to reach out to you.
Sure. So my website, and there's a lot of information on there, is advancedwellnessgcm.com. My email address is my name, HelenJusticeGCM@gmail.com. And then, of course, my phone number is 916-524-5151. Again, that number, 916-524-5151.
Thank you so much, Helen. And I know people will be reaching out to you. And you can also get to Helen through me. It's real easy to get to me. My email is help@laurawayman.com. You can call me. You will call directly. I will answer. This is my cell phone, or you go directly to my voicemail, and I'll get right back to you as soon as I can. And my cell phone number is 916-792-7512. I want to end with a closing thought, a quote for the caregivers out there that are listening, because I want you to know you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. You have heard today about Helen and her organization and Susan, who she has helped. And there are ways that, of course, our words and Susan's testimony is indeed repaying Helen, but there's no way that any of us can repay her for all of her hard work and the impact that she has made for hundreds and hundreds of families, except to send her, send people her way. That's how we're going to help repay Helen for all of her hard work. I would love to hear from you. I will be getting with Helen and Susan so that I can get Susan that book, and I want her to read that and enjoy that. And thank you so much for sharing your journey. And thank you all for joining us today. You know, we recognize the courage it takes to reach out for help on this really, really most difficult journey of dementia care. So, Scott, if you wouldn't mind taking us out, thank you so much for being here with us today, too. Your heart is huge, and we certainly know we're all here to hold each other's hand and walk each other's home. So off we go. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Helen and Susan. And stay tuned, as always, for more from Live with the Dementia Whisperer, and join Laura Wayman through her website to find out more, and join her on Facebook and also my Facebook, Love Cafe with Scott Cluthy, because I always promote our shows as they're coming up. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to be doing a video interview with Laura pretty soon. I'm going to get her on the tube with us all. Thanks to everybody out there, and stay tuned for more always when you're live with the Dementia Whisperer. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com, and join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com, and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.